When Michaela was roused from her dreams, dreams where everything was nice and normal, and she hadn't seen a man ripped apart by giant bats, and she hadn't fired at them and seen their innards splatter over the ground, she panicked. Mildred wouldn't be rousing her unless there was danger, and through her sleep-clouded eyes, she was aware of a third figure standing in the small cubicle. A third figure? She groped clumsily for a blaster, knowing that this had to be danger.
What?
Whoa there, calm down. Look!
Michaela's eyes adjusted to the light and to wakefulness, and she was astounded to see the armorer standing in the room. JB looked a little unsteady still, but the point was that he was conscious and on his feet.
I guess it worked?
Doesn't feel like it, but I guess it has.
Mildred handed JB a canteen, and he drank thirstily, almost choking on the first mouthful, his throat was so closed. Michaela was now fully awakened on her feet. She moved toward him, poised to check his vitals, and clicking into healer mode.
How are you feeling?
JB stepped back and held up his hands.
Hey, Millie's already been through that routine.
His signs are good, and he seems to have made a pretty good recovery. Pretty miraculous, considering I didn't know how much of that shit to pump into him. Could have easily bought the farm.
She slyly glanced at the armorer.
Thanks. I'll remember that. Well, we got a lot of work to do. Not much time. So we need to get to it.
What do you mean? You're not in any fit state to do anything just yet. It's only a matter of minutes, probably, since you came around and—
Michaela? Listen, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know John Barrymore Dix. And you don't know what a stubborn son of a bitch he can be when he gets going.
She exchanged a wry smile with the armorer.
Dark Knight, you think I wouldn't rather rest up a little before taking on those cold hearts? Of course I would. But I'll be nuked if I'm going to sit here and let that bastard Ethan get his own way after what he's done to the others, and what he did to me.
So, Mildred's told you the whole story?
JB nodded.
And you trust me after hearing it all?
JB gave her a crooked grin as he took off his spectacles and polished them.
You're here, aren't you?
He replaced his glasses.
So as I see it, we've got two problems. One is to get back into Pleasantville and deal with any opposition we may encounter. The second is to get Ryan, Christy, Jack, and Doc back with us. Hopefully all of them, and hopefully not under hypnosis. Don't know how likely the second thing is, but the first...
He looked Michaela in the eye before asking his next question. She felt herself quiver under the intensity of his gaze.
You've turned against Ethan, and you've told Mildred you were silent for a long time about your true feelings regarding the Baron's rule. Question is... How many others are there like you?
I couldn't say for sure. For instance, I didn't know Bones felt the way he did until he actually joined us willingly. But one thing I do know, there are a lot of people who are very frightened in Pleasantville. Ethan's gotten worse with each year. The power and the Jack making him more ruthless and his schemes weirder and weirder. I think he's gone crazy, but no one dares tell him, and I don't think I'm alone. Sure, everyone probably put on a good show when the hunt began. Turned out like it was a celebration. But they were scared. I've been there myself, and I haven't dared not to show. I know I'm not alone. I just don't know how many others would do what I've done. And I don't know how many you could rely on to join in a fight.
Shit. We've had worse odds than that before now. Right, Millie? All we've got to do is outthink the Sekhmen. And if they leave the walls unguarded when they've got prisoners, then you can bet anything you want that they're dumb bastards. I figure we've got a fighting chance.
Yeah, but not right now, John. It's still dark out there, and you're still weak. Try to catch a couple hours rest until sunup, and then we'll head for the Ville. The last thing I want is to get lost in these bastard ruins because we can't see where we're going.
Bullshit. Dark is the best time to attack. And I'd bet that Michaela could find her way back to Pleasantville. But if you're that concerned that I get some rest before we set out, I don't reckon there's much I can do.
The armorer lay on the floor and eyed the gurney on which he had been carried to the labs.
Tell you one thing, though. Bet you're glad you won't have to carry me back.
They grabbed a few hours' rest. As fitful and full of frustration as it may have been, it was necessary before they set out for the Ville. It also allowed the sun to rise. Michaela worried about the kind of reception they would get. Mildred worried if JB would be fit enough and sharp enough to tackle any trouble they may run into. JB tried to rest, feeling weak from his illness. But all he could think of was how useless he'd been. How he'd lain there while Mildred and Michaela battled muties, and how the others were out there somewhere trying to chill each other because of one man's greed. That was enough to disturb his rest. So they were all relieved when their crons told them that it was sunup on the surface, and they could begin the trek back to the Ville. As JB checked his M4000 and Uzi before arranging the ammo and Gren supplies about his person, Mildred put a hand on his arm.
How are you feeling, really?
He gave her a thumbs up. She gave him a don't bullshit me look.
Okay. Yeah, I felt better. And I'd be lying if I said otherwise. Still a bit weak and shaky, but I figure we can't wait much longer. Thing is, I know I'm not my usual self, and I can allow for that.
Mildred nodded. She knew the man well enough to know that he would be as good as his word. And a partly fit J.B. Dix was still more use than most people would be in a combat situation. As he checked the Gren supplies, a frown crossed his features.
Dark night, Millie. How many did you use on those bastard muties?
If you'd seen them, John, you'd understand. Now stop moaning. We've got some ground to cover.
The three of them left the labs, keeping alert as they ascended the stairs to the ground floor level of the offices, and then out onto the sidewalk of the deserted city. JB whistled as he got his first look at the ruins. Mildred stopped, momentarily wondering if anything was wrong, until she realized with a start that this was the first time he'd actually seen the landscape through which he'd been carried the previous day.
It's pretty awesome. And pretty damn quiet.
I figure the bats scared everything else away.
They set off across the ruins, heading toward the walls of Pleasantville, and going back through the areas they had traversed the previous day. They took the same route since it was convenient, but aware that they may have been followed, they were strung out in file, with Michaela nervously sandwiched between Mildred and JB, who was on point. It was deathly silent. The only sounds were those made as they walked the old streets and sidewalks, the occasional clang of kicked or disturbed debris, all that broke the silence. It would be easy to fall into complacency in such circumstances, but JB was determined that this wouldn't happen, and he made a habit of checking the storefronts of ruined buildings before allowing the other two to follow in his wake.
Why is he bothering? There's no one there.
But there just might be, Michaela. That's what matters.
The trio was only 500 yards from the no-man's land between the walls of Pleasantville and the city ruins when JB's caution paid off. He had gone ahead to scout a section of crumbling brownstones when he heard the noises from within the farthest shopfront. Diving into cover, he was just in time to avoid detection as three SecMen walked out of the open building complaining to each other.
I tell you, there ain't no way we're gonna find them if they're in here. I don't know why we're doing this.
Because I say so, stoop!
Ah!
The tattooed SecMan hit his companion with a backhand slap across the head. JB couldn't know it, but this was Tracy, the man who had taken JB's companions to the hunt. The third SecMan was now out of the building. He was a huge, bald man, whose Agent K looked like a toy in his giant fist.
Look, what difference does it make anyway? You were told to chill the poor bastard, and he'll probably buy the farm anyway. There's nowhere for the black woman to go. As for poor little Michaela, can you blame her for running? Would you want to be handed over to Grey Horse as a toy?
JB narrowed his eyes. Dissension in the ranks. This could be good for him, in the long run. The armorer also noticed the look of disbelief on the tattooed man's face.
Fuck! I don't think I've ever heard you say so much in your life. You're not gonna go soft on us, are you?
Soft? The way we live now isn't soft. Using these poor bastards and making Jack only for Ethan.
Shit. You'd better stop talking like that.
The first SecMan pulled his mane of black hair back from his face, his coat falling open to reveal a Glock and an M4000 underneath.
That ain't gonna go down too well.
JB didn't wait to hear any more. It was enough that there was dissent, and it was enough that three heavily armed men were moving toward them. The armorer pulled back to where Mildred and Michaela were waiting in cover and explained the situation. He hesitated slightly before mentioning what had been said about the spiky-haired healer.
Yeah, I'd say that was about right. You got a better reason to go down fighting?
Don't reckon so. But we'll have to be careful with these bastards. They got a lot of hardware.
He began to outline his plan. When he had finished, he checked to see if Mildred, and particularly Michaela, understood what he had said. The young healer had a grim face, and he could tell from her brief nod of assent that she knew this was no longer about hiding. It was about taking the offensive.
Okay, let's take him down then.